So imagine that we are all snorkeling together under the sea. If you don't feel like you have good snorkeling skills, this is your chance to imagine that you do. And we may see octopuses doing some of their amazing things, changing the color of their skin so that they look just like the rock or the coral that they are sitting on. We may see them squeezing through cracks in the rocks that are only this wide. Even if the octopus itself weighs 20 pounds, it may be able to sneak through a one-inch space. And I have always heard that they are some of the smartest of the invertebrates, and that they are pretty clever animals. They can open jars and solve puzzles. But I wondered, if they're smooshing through spaces this big, isn't that bad for their brain? Well, it turns out that octopuses are quite intelligent, but in a different way than we are. We keep our smarts inside of our hard heads. But octopuses have their smarts spread around. So it turns out that each one of their arms has part of their brain. Their neurons are spread all through their body, which is part of why you've seen those octopus arms doing things that don't seem possible. I think it's partially because those arms are thinking and perceiving the world in a way that our arms do not. And so they can move through the world and experience the world in a way that is quite different than we do. But let me tell you a couple of stories about octopus that are an example of them being clever in ways that you wouldn't expect something as smooshy as an octopus to be. One story is about Otto the octopus, who lived in an aquarium in Germany. The aquarium was having trouble because the lights kept shorting out in one wing of the aquarium. And they couldn't figure out why. They would come in the morning and everything would be shorted out again, and some of the tanks would not have their bubblers going, and it was problematic. And they had the electrician come in and fix it, and then a few days later, they'd come in the morning and everything would be shorted out again. So finally, they decided they just had to sleep over there with the tanks and see if they could observe what happened. And a few nights went by with people sleeping in the aquarium, and finally, one night, someone observed Otto climbing up on the edge of his tank, taking aim at the light over his tank, which was clearly too bright and annoying him, gathering up water in his mouth, in his little pointy beak, and squirting it directly at the light bulb so that it shorted out. And then he could sleep in peace without that light shining on him. So they had to rearrange the lighting for Otto, the octopus. It takes not only a fair amount of figuring out how he could interact with that light bulb, but he had to probably do some calculations to figure out how to get the water to go in just the right spot to get that light to go out. And one of my other favorite octopus stories is about a scuba diver off the coast of New Zealand. And this story is told entirely through a video, which you can also watch on YouTube. It starts off with someone scuba diving with one of those underwater cameras, and you see the seaweed swaying in the wind. Well, it's not the wind, is it? The currents. And the coral is kind of amazing, and then you see the octopus tentacles coming out of the algae and the leaves down there, and it grabs the camera. And so then for a while, all you see is this close-up of the circle of one of those suction pads of the octopus. And the scuba diver has put in subtitles for this. And he says, "This is the moment when I panicked because the tentacles were all wrapped around his arm. But he realized that the octopus didn't really care about him. He just wanted the camera. So he let go of the camera, and sure enough, the octopus swam off at top speeds. They can swim very fast for something that's pretty squishy. And so he chased this octopus for 5 or 10 minutes, hoping to get the camera back. And he did finally distract the octopus with the spear gun, which was also an interesting shiny object. And then you stop seeing just the close-up of the suction pad in the video, and you see the octopus riding on the front of the spear gun through the water, like this, clearly enjoying the ride. Well, it's a pretty bold move of that octopus to dart out and grab something from someone who has a spear gun. And it turns out that he picked just the right person who was appreciative of both his boldness and his cleverness, and they both enjoyed that ride. This scuba diver appreciated, I think, that the octopus was both fearless and filled with curiosity. And that is why we are visiting the octopus's garden this morning. Because Ringo Starr also heard about the things that octopuses do down there at the bottom of the ocean. He heard about this in a time in his life when he was struggling and needed a fresh perspective on the world and some renewal for his spirit. So when he heard about octopuses and their gardens under the sea, he was moved to make music about it. The octopus's garden are, they're hard to find, as you can tell, the fact that only one person in the room has had a chance to see one. And so people talk about them in a sort of legendary way because most people don't get to see them. And I think that's part of why the idea of an octopus's garden is a place where we might have more understanding and where there might be a kind of refuge from the world. And because octopuses are vulnerable to their environment, because they are so soft and velvety without any protection on the outside or rigidity on the inside, they have to figure out how to live in the world differently than many other creatures. And I think it turns out that part of their power comes from their softness, from their mutability, from their vulnerability. And they follow the intelligence of their bodies as they go places and move between things, responding constantly to whoever shows up in their part of the water, trying all kinds of ways to defend themselves. And yet they always remain these very fluid, changeable creatures. And so they have to have ways to protect that vulnerability. Changing colors is one way they do it. Inking in the water is another way they do it. And if we're in that octopus's garden now, this perhaps is one of those places where we also protect what is vulnerable in ourselves. It is at least a place where we can acknowledge that we are tender and vulnerable, that we too are mutable and in need of a place where we can do that changing. But as you heard in the stories that I told about octopuses, they don't just live in their gardens or their caves. They go out and catch dinner, of course, and explore, maybe trying to get things for their garden by nabbing cameras from passersby. And they try to shape their environment by putting out lights that they don't like. And this is another thing about the gardens that captures my mind. They are created by creatures who both need to retreat and are fast swimmers and problem solvers and bold grabbers of things. Gardens are these creations that exist somewhere between that part of us that needs to be tucked away and protected and tended carefully, and the part of us that is ready to take on anything that comes our way. We'll dart out and grab things, and we'll just short out the whole side of the aquarium if it's what needs to happen. And the gardens themselves are not hidden. They're hard to find because we can't live under the sea most of the time. But they're out there. They're out there in plain sight if you're a swimmer of the seas. And so you can see this place that is both part of the protected life of the octopus and the bold part of the octopus that is out collecting amazing things. And so if this is an octopus's garden, this is also an in-between place. A place in between tenderness and boldness, in between stepping or slithering away from the world and grabbing it with all its troubles. And the octopus's garden shows something of the mind of the octopus. Well, I guess it shows something of the way all of their arms are thinking. What does it choose for its garden? Shells, bits of coral, scuba cameras, lost earrings. The octopus's garden is a place where we pull together all the different parts of our lives, all of our different selves, and learn to hold them in some kind of balance. And then I'm sure that the currents shift in the ocean and the gardens get changed and the octopus rebuilds and rearranges and recreates, moving back and forth between tucking away inside of the rocks and coral and moving boldly out into the world. Welcome to our octopus's garden.